We're truly glad to be here today, and we ask that you pray for this service, that God will have right of way with each and every one. If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the 16th chapter of the book of John's Gospel, the Gospel according to John the Beloved. And this was written by John, they believe, in Ephesus, 90 AD, about the same time, perhaps, that he wrote the book of the Revelation. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Not that he didn't love all of the others, but I think that John was picked out and allowed to live as long as what he did for God to reveal some of the things that were going to take place. And you'll find that John's gospel is just a little bit different than the rest of them. It's still truth, but he goes into Jesus as the Son of God, as still God and still man, 100% God and 100% man. And in this particular series of chapters, John is, through Jesus' word, is preparing the disciples for what is to come. Jesus was going to go away. Jesus was going to go to the cross and pay the ultimate price that was needed for men, women, boys, and girls to be saved and to avoid the penalty of sin and death by sin. And so in the 16th chapter, these are the words of Jesus as is written down and recorded by the Apostle John. And in the 7th verse, we want to start right there with the 7th verse. It says, "Nevertheless," and this is Jesus speaking to the disciples and speaking to us, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient." In other words, it is necessary. It is part of the plan of God that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, that is, if I go back to the Father, he said, I will send him unto you. And notice how that he uses the pronoun, or if you will, the identification, he. He is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He is what makes the gospel, gospel today. And when he has come, he'll do several things. First of all, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment. Now I'm going to put paraphrase in there, of the judgment to come. Of sin, because they believe not on me. What sends a person to hell? What keeps them from entering into heaven? All manner of sin will be forgiven unto man, we're told in the scriptures. But the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven on this side of eternity and even in the judgment to come. And what is it to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Just deviate a little bit. It is to say whenever that God knocks at the individual's heart and begins to deal with them and begins to show them that they need a Savior, that they're lost, that they're in sin, that they're in bondage. And that person begins to back up and to say, no, I really don't need this. No, you're wrong. They're saying unto the Spirit of truth, you are a liar. That's what will keep you out of heaven today, is to deny the right-of-way of the Holy Spirit of the gospel in the heart, because we find today he searches the heart. He searches the individual. He reveals what is within the heart, what is within man today. And he concludes and he teaches today that all have sinned. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he'll reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go unto my Father. And the righteousness that God is looking for in us is not our own righteousness. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed unto us through the Holy Spirit. That's the righteousness that God is looking for. He's not looking for our good works. He's not looking to see if we have not done anything or that we appear upright. What he is looking for today is that that righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto the heart of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Now we will see him again someday. And whenever that he comes not as Savior. He comes to take the redeemed with him. He comes for his chosen. He comes for the saved today. But he also comes in a different capacity. When Christ comes back, and he will come back, and the Bible says he that will come shall come and will not tarry, he comes back to set up his kingdom. He comes back as judge, and he will judge the nations. He will judge the individual. And I want you to know that sinners will stand before him. And they'll give an account unto him as to what they did with the gospel. As to what they did with so great a price that was paid on Calvary's cross. And that brings us to the 11th verse of judgment. Because the prince of this world is judged. And the Bible tells us, whosoever believeth not on the Son of Man is condemned. And he's judged already. Then what preacher can we do? I want you to know God speaks to your heart through the Holy Spirit. That's an invitation to come to him. Not to come to me, not to come to anyone else, but to come under the foot of the cross, under Christ Jesus, who is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through him. Now he goes on and he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. But howbeit, whenever that he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak in authority of himself, but he shall, whatsoever that he shall hear, that is, through me, he said, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. If correctly read, this is the 7th through the 13th verses of the scripture, the gospel according to John, 16th chapter. And I realize today that in this that we're looking at in the Word of God to bring before you today, there is so much that is here that the day will not even contain the time to bring forth all that this pertains to and whom it pertains to. But our thought will come from this verse of Scripture that's found in the 13th verse. I'm not going to necessarily repeat it, but it's going to be based upon that 13th verse. That whenever that he comes, he will lead you in all knowledge and all truth. He is more than just part of the triune Godhead. He's more than just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He cannot speak a lie. Whenever that God opened up my heart unto my lost condition, there was no use trying to deny it. There was no use trying to step back from it and say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. And I want to say today, whenever that you deny right of way in your heart as a lost individual, when you deny right of way with the Holy Spirit, you're walking on dangerous ground. God obligates himself just one time to give us that opportunity. And if you shun it, you turn it away. If God continues to deal with you, it's just the mercies of God. And it's just the love of God. It is God saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. On this day that Jesus was speaking unto his disciples, he was about to go away. And the Bible tells us that as he was about to go away, as he was going to the cross, and he would never speak to them in this capacity today, he said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. Jesus is preparing a place for each and every one of us. Each and every one of the redeemed. And I want you to know that the Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard all those things that God hath prepared for them that love him, them that have been redeemed. But even though that he was going to go and return unto the Father, and they heard this, they probably thought within themselves, what are we going to do now? Jesus is going to be gone. He's going back to heaven. And we're going to be left alone. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. And I want to tell each and every one of you today, he's not deserted you. He is not so far away. But I want you to know that he'll not leave you. The word comfortless here comes from a word that means to leave someone like an orphan. I don't know if anybody's ever dealt with those that don't have family or whatever. But I want you to know that that individual is very, very much alone. And they have no other resources to turn to except just what humanity provides for them. But my friend Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm not going to desert you like that. But he said, whenever that the Comforter has come, he said, he will teach you all things. He gives comfort to us today. The Holy Spirit comforts our hearts whenever that we feel alone, we feel deserted, whenever that we feel like that there's no one that understands, there's that comforting presence of the Holy Spirit within our heart. And you might say, well, that's still not Jesus. My friend, I want to tell you, it is Jesus. It's the Spirit of Christ. And if we could pull the veil back and look at it through God's eyes, Christ is with us even in this service today. He said, whenever that I am lifted up, whenever that I am preached, whenever that I am held forth to a lost and dying world, he said, I'll be in the midst. And you know, whenever that we come together, there's at least two or three people that have gathered in his name. And I see a congregation today of people that have come in his name. And so I'm convinced he's in our presence. He's in your heart. As a child of God, he is there present. You might say, well, I don't feel him. My friend, that doesn't make any difference, because sometimes the world will work to try to crowd the understanding that Christ is with you. Try to crowd it out. And I believe that in the days that are to come, we will need to draw closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that he'll have to be upon our mind almost 24/7. We're already in those days. I'm going to tell you something today, my friend. I've got some bad news for you today. The situations in the world, our nation, whatever that it is, it's not getting better. You've seen evidence of that. But I've got good news for you today. He said, draw nigh unto me with all of your heart, and I will draw nigh unto you. And my friend, I will not leave you comfortless. He said that where two or three are gathered in my name, Matthew tells us in the 8th chapter, he said, I am going to be in the midst of your gathering together. He also said in Matthew 28, he said, I'll be with you even unto the end of the age. The Holy Spirit will bear witness within our heart that he is with us. You know, he's with you even whenever that you leave here, and whenever that you go out into the world, and whenever that you face the things that you have to face, he's there with you. He said, I'll be with you even unto the end of the age. My friend, his Holy Spirit will work within you, will be with you, will comfort you, will teach you, will instruct you today, even unto the end of the world, even unto the end of time, even unto the end of the age. This dispensation, this church age that we live in, Christ is going to be with us. And my friend, I want to tell you, this is the consolation that He's left for us today. He said, I will not leave you, and I will not desert you. I will be with you even unto the end, whenever that either we see Him coming and He raptures us out of this world, or my friend, we pass from this world in death into eternity. He's going to be there with us. No wonder it says He sticketh closer than a brother. You know, I never grew up in a home where that there were brothers and sisters. That always fascinated me. You know, I could always go home and there was kind of peace there. But you know, I'd go to a friend's house where there were brothers and sisters, and boy, I'll tell you what, talk about drama. And sometimes some of my best friends would even invite me to join. And of course, that's like saying sick 'em to a dog. Even to pick on their sisters and things like that. And yeah, I did that. And they took my friend took the blame. But anyway, my friend, I want you to know today, I've never known what it was like to have brothers and sisters like that. But you know, I know what it is to have Christ dwelling within my heart. I know what it's like, my friend, to travel by myself or be by myself or lie in bed at night and just think, boy, most of my family is gone now. I have very few cousins, but I want you to know there's that comforting presence of the Holy Spirit that says, I'll not leave you, I'll not forsake you. And there's a verse of Scripture that says over in the book of Psalms, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. My friend, if everybody deserts you, if friends turn their back upon you, if co-workers turn their back upon you, my friend, if family turns their back upon you, the Lord will take you up. And He'll let you know that I am with you. My friend, what it amounts to is taking dependence away from things of the world and putting the dependence upon Him. He's an advocate. Some of the things that the Holy Spirit does, He's an advocate. Now, someone will say, well, preacher, you've always talked about Christ being an advocate, and He is. But that is imputed to us also. He's an advocate. You know what an advocate is? I hope none of you have ever experienced anything like this. I have a little bit with traffic tickets. But you have somebody that will go in with you before the judge and stand up on your behalf. Now, I kind of learned a little bit of traffic law that way. But they stand up with you. They'll plead your case. Said, he wasn't thinking about the speed, or he wasn't thinking about this or that. But I want you to know that Christ Jesus, my friend, is a continual advocate for us. Do you know whenever that the devil brings accusation against you before God and in your own mind and says that you are not worthy of anything, that you're nothing? And you know, if you listen to Satan long enough, you'll get to believing him. You'll get to thinking that, you know, I'm not worth anything. I can't do anything. My friend, you can bring five loaves and two small fishes. That's all that it took to feed 5,000 people. Did you know that? That's all that it took. You put them into the hands of Jesus and it'll go a long way. You just open the door for somebody in kindness in a supermarket or whatever, my friend. And you might think that's a very small thing. But in the eyes of God, my friend, it's a mighty thing. And the devil will get you to thinking that I can't preach or I can't do this. And I want to tell you something. I can't preach either unless God helps me. Unless He inhabits my thoughts and inhabits my heart. But I want to tell you something today. Each and every one of you, Satan will try to keep you from serving Him by telling you that you can't do a thing. Brother, you've got an advocate with the Father. You've got one that will say, this is my child. I purchased him with my own blood. I've taken up my abode within him. He is mine. And there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To a child of God today, my friend, I want you to know that you are fireproofed from hell. And my friend, you are temptation-proofed here in this side of eternity through the Holy Spirit. He'll bring things to your mind if you'll allow him to. That's why it's always good to get into the Word of God, because there's where he animates it. You know, I've had times come whenever that tempted in some things, and immediately my mind goes to a scripture that says, thou shalt not, or it teaches me, love thy neighbor. And I want to tell you something, these days and times, I get so stirred up with what's going on, but then I have to stop. My mantra has become, and I'm reminded of it, Jesus died for them too. Amen? Jesus died for them too. Oh, I can't believe he got up in a speech and he said what he did. But Jesus died for him. You're right, Lord. He did. God help him. I hope he gets saved if he's not saved. And it brings me back to the center where I need to be. At any rate, God is our advocate. He pleads Jesus pleads our case before the Father. He pleads the case for us. I have paid the penalty of sin. I paid the price that was needed to redeem him from sin. He's not only an advocate, but today he's an intercessor between us and between God. He maketh intercession for those that come unto God through him. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And to the lost today, that also applies unto you perhaps, that they that come unto God must believe that he is the reward order of those that diligently seek him, and he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Christ lives forever to make intercession for us, and the Holy Spirit makes that known unto us. My friend, whenever that you get to doubting your salvation, if you've been saved, and sometimes it'll come to your mind, is that really it? Is that really it? My grandmother used to talk about that and say, you know, goodness sakes, at least you got something to doubt. So there's something there. If you were really lost, there would be no question about it. But I'm thankful today to God that he, through the Holy Spirit, will even take our mind to wherever that it was that we were redeemed through the precious blood of Christ, that experience of salvation, that being born again. God will direct through the Holy Spirit us to that place. He is our mediator today. He makes intercession for us, and he's a mediator. You know, sometimes whenever the two parties are conflicted and they are reaching an impasse, they call in what they call a mediator. You know what a mediator does? He goes to this one and he reasons and he bargains and he so on and so forth. Then he goes to this one. And I want you to know that Christ is a perfect mediator. Do you know why today? Because he's 100% man, and he knows what is in the heart of man. He knows what man needs today. He's 100% man without sin, and he's 100% God with holiness and righteousness. That's why he is a perfect mediator. When I was saved by the grace, I had no idea what a mediator was. It didn't matter to me. At the age of 17, all I was concerned about was cars, football, and other things. But whenever that I came under conviction, I want to tell you something. Brother, I gave it all up. I thought, I'm a goner, Lord. I'm a goner. If you don't do something about this burden of sin that's upon my heart, I've got no one else to turn to. I can't ask my mother, my father. I've walked aisles. I've done this. I've done that. I've even been baptized. But I want to tell you something. He did something for my soul and for my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. He lifted that and put joy and peace. And he said, I am. And honest as God is my witness today, he said, I am, Paul, your mediator. I am your intercessor. I go unto God on your behalf. I am your Redeemer. I am your Savior. I had no idea. You can think whatever that you want to, but those words came to me. That's what I base my salvation upon, is I've got a mediator. I've got a high priest. I've got one, my friend, that came from beyond the veil and applied his blood unto my heart. And I want you to know he can be your mediator today. We have an advocate with the Father even after that we're saved. The advocate is Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He recommends us unto God and he recommends God unto us. He intercedes for us. Now this happens to us. And this is for us today. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is not just coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. I used to hear my brethren, and I respect them. I understand what they're saying. But they would always pray in a service, and I'd always wonder at it. They'd always say, well, I hope the Holy Spirit comes. I hope the Holy Spirit does this. I hope the Holy Spirit is with us. And they'd conclude a service, and they'd meet me out in the parking lot and say, boy, I wish the Spirit was with us today. I want to tell you something today. It finally dawned upon me. The Holy Spirit is with us whenever that we lift up Christ Jesus to a lost and dying world and we praise him and we lift him up and we honor him and we honor him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Holy Spirit is with us. And my friend, it's just the same as if Christ was standing within this aisle. We just can't see him, but we know that he is there because at times we feel it strong, but he's still there. He's still there. If any man have not this Spirit of Christ dwelling within him, he's none of his. I didn't write the book. God did. But my friend, to an individual that may be lost and unsaved today, he can take up his abode within your heart and within your soul. And you can know that you're a child of God and that you're a joint heir with Christ Jesus and that you have that assurance that when he comes or he comes for you in death, you'll know exactly where that you're going. And I want to say this today. His Spirit bears witness with us that we are a child of God. You know, whenever that my father, he was silent most of the time, but boy, whenever that he spoke. And I think this is the reason why parents give middle names to their children. Whenever they did say, Paul Lindley, like that, boy, it rung a bell in there. Whenever that God says, Paul, my son, it rings a bell. It rings a witness within me. And I know that it's my Father speaking. And I know that it's my elder brother, Christ Jesus, that is advocating for me. And through the Holy Spirit, he is working through me and with me today. I don't know anyone's heart. I don't know where. I just know my own. But I do know this, that if you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, it's not a shame. It's not a shame to be lost. There's not a shame in it. There's a remedy for it. Let this old pharmacist tell you something today. There's a great physician that can cure what is ailing you right now. If you're lost, I can't give you anything. No amount of Benadryl or Tylenol is going to take that away. But, oh, I'll tell you what. There is a medicine that flows from the veins of Christ that can redeem and can take away the reproach of sin today. I know that He's able to save to the uttermost, and I know that He'll lead us in all truth. I've not even begun in this message, but unless you want to know. No. But I'm truly thankful today that the Holy Spirit is real. He is real today. There is no doubt about it today. And my friend, He will lead you in all truth. You know, I thank God for this people that we study this. I really do. I'm so thankful that everyone in this church, the visitors and whatnot, are very, very interested in this book. And sometimes we hit a snag, don't we, Sister Melba? We hit a snag. You know what we do? We go to the author. And we go to Him that inspired the writer and say, Lord, what did you mean by this? And you know, sometimes the answer will come from somebody else. Sometimes it will come directly to us. But He is the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you in all things. So as we close our remarks today, we're truly thankful for the fact that we serve such a Redeemer. Such a great God today, who looked down through the ages of time and saw that we would need a Savior, a Lord, an intercessor, an advocate, a mediator today. And He provided the perfect plan of salvation. Don't go to the third, and I'm not making fun, but don't go to the third world countries or their religions. My friend, don't go to them today, the philosophy of the world. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus today, the author and the finisher of our faith.